red clay and red ink.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. One of the biggest business stories for the last week has been the struggle of CIT Group. It's a huge lender to small and mid-sized businesses. It got billions in bailout money. It was still struggling, could have gone bankrupt today. Instead, CIT is expected to announce it has emergency financing from its bondholders, and good for them. I thought you would be interested in this opposite kind of bank story, bank failures and where they happen most. On Friday, federal regulators shut down four more banks. So that's 57 bank failures nationwide this year so far. And leading the nation is the state of Georgia with 15 failures. Paul Donsky writes for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Paul, thank you for being here.
Sure, Bill.
Why does Georgia lead the nation?
Well, there are numerous reasons, and the first reason is the sheer number of banks here. The state was slow to approve statewide banking here, and so there are a proliferation of small banks. A lot of people started them up to fuel the home building industry here.
Now, I have read that Georgia banks have been hurt by the real estate bust, except I would expect more of that, you know, pain to be felt in Florida, Arizona, California.
Well, as gambling is to Las Vegas, home building is to Atlanta. It's a major, major industry here. And some of the banks that have failed had a overwhelming percentage of their overall loans were in real estate. They were not diversified at all.
Do you see a change in Georgia banking culture coming?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Bankers I speak to on a regular basis say that you're seeing a return to plain vanilla banking, which is lend to who you know in your own backyard, much more diversified, not just in real estate. But on the other hand, there are a lot of banks here and there's not enough business to go around. So everybody's predicting a big, big shakeout. You're going to have more failures. Banks are going to have to be bought out by others. It's going to be a pretty long slog, I think.
Paul Donsky writes for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Paul, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And since we're thinking about bank failures averted and not averted, what is happening with all the taxpayer bailout money in the Troubled Asset Relief Program? Well, there is a TARP watchdog, a special inspector general, Neil Barofsky. He's out with a report this morning on what banks are doing with those hundreds of billions. Here is Marketplace's Amy Scott.
Barofsky surveyed more than 300 banks that accepted bailout money. Most of them say they've used some of the money to support lending, but they've also used it to help build up capital to protect against losses, pay off debts, and buy failed banks. Barofsky wants the Treasury Department to require banks to report such information, but the Treasury has resisted.
The problem is that it is not possible to say definitively how a particular dollar of a TARP investment has been utilized.
That's banking consultant Bert Ely. He says banks basically have a big pot of cash. Money gets dumped in from lots of sources.
And once the TARP investment gets dumped into that big pot of cash, then you can't track the flows after that.
Barofsky, the TARP watchdog, says his survey proves you can track the flows of money. The Treasury does track lending by bailout recipients. The latest shows that new loans increased slightly in May. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
That's a lot of banks. Now let's do the numbers. They're up. S&P 500 is ahead 0.4%, and the NASDAQ more than that, 0.5%. The Dow is up 0.4%, or 39 points at 8,783. The CIT news helped, and some decent economic surveys out this morning. European stocks are up about 1%, and Asian markets a little bit more than that. Medtronic says its Melody heart valve system met safety and effectiveness goals in a new study. An FDA panel will meet this week to review the data.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
I imagine you know IKEA for popular and relatively affordable furniture and assembly, Allen wrenches and all that. Well, IKEA also has this play area called Smalland, where you can leave your children for a little bit while you shop. Well, reporter Ashley Milne-Tite says Smalland is actually becoming popular as essentially a free babysitting service.
IKEA says some of its stores are taking in 10 to 15% more children at Smarland this year. One of those stores is in Brooklyn. Monica Willis is a regular there. She says childcare is expensive, but IKEA makes it easy to deposit her two kids for an hour or so of play without having to pay $15 to $20.
It's a really, really comfortable place to be, you know, and it's safe. The kids love it. There's so much to do in the small land ball pit. You can't really go anywhere. It's like an indoor play space and it's free.
It's also supervised. The number of staff members goes up, along with the number of kids they have to watch. Willis's 7-year-old daughter Polly loves it.
You can either play in like a ball pit or this giant shoe, or you can watch a movie.
But while Polly and her brother are plunging into a sea of plastic balls or parked in front of a DVD, their mother's often slumped in a chair just out of sight, reading or making some phone calls free of interruptions.
Do you ever use it as an opportunity to actually shop at IKEA?
With the kids, no. Usually we might buy a few small things while we put them in there, but actually mostly we just go to hang out.
IKEA says if a parent chooses to skip the store's aisles, that's fine. The company says it's glad to introduce people to the IKEA experience. Patricia Powell is a retail consultant. Sitting in the cafeteria at the Brooklyn store, she says IKEA is doing well while other home stores suffer, and it's partly because it offers cheap food and free childcare.
Every retailer now is desperate to provide their customers for a reason to walk in the door and spend money. And IKEA has done exactly that with a relatively little amount of money and investment.
Powell says other retailers with space could benefit by having drop-off play areas.
Especially someone like Target, who is really struggling. I think this kind of service is a great way for Target to kind of increase their value to the kind of customer that they want to reach.
Of course, the kind of customer most stores want to reach is one who stays on the premises, even if they don't buy anything. Monica Willis says she knows one parent who parks her child at Smarland, then sneaks off to shop at a nearby supermarket. In Brooklyn, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 40 points at 8784. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.